Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, color breaking news, culture, and pneumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Interesting news today. Michael Saylor is throwing, it kind of sounds ridiculous when you say it, but Michael Saylor is throwing a Bitcoin and Lightning adoption conference for corporations in May. Interesting. And I think it really highlights the important, like the where Michael Saylor is focusing his energy. And we have to like understand like what is Michael Saylor trying to prove? Michael Saylor is trying to prove that Bitcoin functions as a better alternative for companies holding that on their balance sheet versus fiat, right? You know, we all talk about inflation, 5% inflation, 2% inflation, right? 6%, 9% inflation. You have maybe, you know, let's say you have $1,000 in your bank account. Yeah, it sucks. You know, say you lose, what, $80, $10, $80, $100 if you have $1,000. But if you have $10 million, then that 10% inflation or that 9% inflation, that 6% inflation really, 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 really hurts. And I think that's the message that Michael Saylor is trying to push. And then also in the Lightning front as well, right? Lightning, we believe is Lightning is a potential solution to scaling Bitcoin, right? Second layer. So it makes sense why he's hosting this type of conference. If time allows, also another quick update on the separation of money and state and the state fighting back. Biden administration acknowledges it can force Bitcoin mines to disclose pollution. So, you know, one of the attack vectors we believe on Bitcoin, or at least slowing down the adoption of Bitcoin, is the right to self-custody, which interestingly, it was the state of Wyoming that passed a law that protects that. You're seeing this on a state level, right? We also, I think it was Mississippi as well that was protecting the right of individuals to run nodes. I think if my memory serves me correctly, I think Dennis Porter had something to do with that. So shout out to him. And then the other attack vector, which is the more obvious one, that's the one that you see all the, you know, the propaganda being, you know, being advertised as of late, right? You guys remember the Cal Penn video with Bloomberg, high production quality, you know, saying narratives that have been debunked already about, you know, Bitcoin uses more energy than the country of Austria, which, like, yeah, that's fine to say that, but it never gets into the details. It never covers any of the nuance. Like, what energy is Bitcoin using in the first place? It's stranded energy. It's isolated energy. It's energy that was already going to waste. If it wasn't already going to waste, it wouldn't be economical for miners to use that, right? You're not going to mine in a big city where the price of electricity is through the roof. So it never talks about any of that. Anyway, so we're going to get into all that. And also we have two very special guests. We have Greg Hoffmeister. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I tend to butcher last names. How you doing, bro?
Good, good. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you on the show today. And of course, MS Bitcoin Life. How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Doing well, thank you very much.
And I'm going to bring my legendary co-host, always optimistic, Optimus Field. How you doing, bro?
Well, I am doing wonderful. We had a good conversation before the show, so I know today is going to be a lit day. But also, man, it's very interesting, all the news that's happening. On the one hand, the Saylor news, I'll probably bring this up again. The Bitcoin brain drain is real, boys and girls. It is happening in real time. And then the other news, if we do get to it, it's very interesting, all the stuff coming out in regards to politicians passing bills and stuff. You know, hey, we're not too big on pieces of paper, but it does seem like the Overton window is shifting. Is this mean, you know, the political tide is turning in Bitcoin? I sure hope so. Anyways, Nico, let's get into this one.
Let's get into it. All right, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, I want to tell you about Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference in the world, Bitcoin Celebration, Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. You don't want to miss it. You could take advantage of the promo code simply to get 10% off your tickets. Let's go through some of the speaker list because it's going to be absolutely crazy. Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Alex Gladstein, Matt Odell, Stacey Herbert, Corey Clipson, Obi Fode, and many, many more. You guys don't want to miss this celebration. And of course, Opti and I are going to be there. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 24,800 sats per dollar. Woo, 24,000. Bit of an uptick.
Let's go.
Sats per dollar. Green candle, 4,031. Block height, 776,875. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,646. Blocks to the halving, 63,125. Halving estimate, April 24th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,366. Bitcoin capacity value, $133 million. Realized monetary inflation. That's weird. I thought that number was at 1.75% the other day.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on there? What's going on? I thought it was only supposed to go down. Anyways, maybe it's a bug. 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $478 billion. Now, I keep saying this, but it is my favorite stat of this whole thing is the realized monetary inflation because it highlights the scam that are fiat currencies. And on the day to day, I'm going to keep saying the same number. But as the years go by, that number is just going to continue going down. It's going to become very apparent. Anyways, what I wanted to cover today is this. SEC, this is huge news. And this has many, many, many implications. Right. So SEC proposes rules that would change which crypto firms can custody customer assets. Moving on to this tweet thread by Caitlin Long, and she summarizes it, and I think she did a great job. So the TLDR is it doesn't kill crypto custody. It's a move against state chartered trust companies. There's one big issue, though, which will trigger huge pushback. The big issue. For custodians to indemnify for, quote, negligence, recklessness, or willful misconduct, all the banks, Wall Street, commodities, and crypto industries will push back together on this because it would kill custody businesses broadly. What's the issue? Propose apply custody rule to all asset classes, including commodities and crypto. Okay, fine. But SEC also wants custodians to indemnify full asset value for losses in which custodian played any role. That's the implication of expanding the custody rule with such indemnity to physical assets like oil, cattle, wheat, and crypto. History custody originated under concept of bailment, which is the same law as coat checks and valet parking. Bailments usually have limited liability. Next time you check your coat, look at the receipt you receive. It limits liability because you are expected to insure your own asset. This makes sense because you didn't turn over legal title to the assets to your custodian. You continue to own it. Custodian typically has a duty of care. So you see the issue. The SEC essentially require qualified custodians to blanket identify clients against full risk of loss for assets that custodians don't even own. For commodities that will upset longstanding insurance terms, no dice. So I think there will be a wall of united pushback against this indemnity provision. SEC is correct in its assessment that market practice varies wildly. It does, with good reason, because for physical assets, it really matters when title is transferred. So, and this is really interesting because most exchanges right now at the moment, they are the exchange and they're also the custodian. And that functions wildly different than the traditional financial system, where the custodian is different than the broker or the exchange, right? So I don't know what the full implications of this are, but I do want to pull up a tweet from Corey Clipson, and I think that it further explains what is going on. So let me pull it up. So here we go. It says, the best way to buy Bitcoin is to send your money to a broker and have them send your coin straight to you like Bull Bitcoin does. The second best way is to segregate duties between custodian and broker like Swan Bitcoin so the broker cannot touch your coin. So, and it goes on to say the worst model is Trust Me Bro like Celsius and Binance where the exchange is also your custodian. And I believe that's what the SEC regulations are all about. They're applying regulations that the traditional financial industry has had to follow for the longest time. And we talk a lot about incentives on this show. Are the incentives aligned when the broker is also the custodian, right? Those are misaligned incentives. So with the traditional financial system, as they've had these raw, they've had these laws really, I think since the Great Depression, if my memory serves me correctly, where the broker and the custodian are totally different, right? And I think that that's what these SEC laws are about. Now, that affects many exchanges like Coinbase, where Coinbase is not only the broker, but they're also the custodian. And take a look at the example of FTX as well, right? Binance is another one, right? So this is going to have huge implications. But as Caitlin Long was just talking about, the amount of pushback they're going to receive is tremendous. And you've seen Brian Armstrong over the last couple of days, like screaming from the rooftops, basically saying this is going to force, crypto shitcoin companies overseas because they're not going to adhere to this. There was also like a very hyperbolic tweet that it's like, this is the equivalent of not allowing Uber, like all these things, or all these shitcoiners are just pulling their hairs out. But I mean, look, obviously, we're Bitcoiners on this show. What we advocate for is taking self-custody. If you take self-custody, I think that there's a reasonable chance that we can actually effectuate change because it's millions upon millions of individuals holding their own wealth rather than outsourcing the responsibility of doing that to custodians, right? But I mean, I think that this is part of cleaning up of the industry. And look, like if you approach it from common sense, why is the traditional financial system made to adhere to certain laws about custodians and brokers? And why is the Bitcoin and crypto industry made to adhere to different laws, right? And then what are the fallout of those laws? So again, not a big fan of using custodians. I'm a simple Bitcoiner. I buy Bitcoin, earn Bitcoin, mine Bitcoin, and take that said Bitcoin into self-custody. Like that is how I approach it. That's how I look at this. But I mean, this could have tremendous implications for a lot of the shitcoin casinos, because I know a lot of those people that are buying those shitcoins, like they're not taking self-custody of those shitcoins. Like they're leaving those shitcoins on those casinos, right? So huge implications. We're gonna stay on top of it. We're gonna talk about it. This is a developing story. Anyways, Opti, I feel like you're going to say exactly what I just said, bro. Like,
yeah, I can't really add to what you're saying, and I will, let Caitlin Long do all the intricate stuff here. But it's very interesting the moves that the SEC has been making the last couple of weeks or the last couple of days, really. And we've said in the past that Gensler knows what I think he's doing, in the sense like he understands what Bitcoin is. So at this point, I think I'm going to reserve my opinion, because I think it's still out there whether Gensler is friend or foe of Bitcoin. I know in the past we said he's not friendly towards Bitcoin, but right now it's kind of like, I don't know what 5D chess game he's playing over there. So it's going to be interesting to follow along in the coming days and weeks, because they are definitely making a lot of moves in regards to the Bitcoin and shitcoin space. And it's happening like every single day. It seems like we're seeing some new story coming out of the SEC. So they are definitely making moves, and it's just it's going to be interesting where the cards fall.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. I think they needed the FTX blow up to implement a lot of this regulation. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, and I know Bitcoiners are vehemently against, any type of government intervention. But at the end of the day, look, these laws about separating the custodian versus the broker, they've been around since the Depression era. They've been around for a very, very long time. The financial industry has had to adhere to them for a very long time. Why would the Bitcoin and crypto industry be any different, right? And then also, not to mention what I was saying earlier, right? It's misaligned incentives, dude. The broker is also the person that is holding your assets. That is a recipe for disaster. Anyways, MS Bitcoin Life, what are your thoughts on this? And then we'll move on to Greg.
Well, you guys, I mean, I echo everything you said, and I sort of feel we have to continue down our path of buying Bitcoin, cold storaging, putting our Bitcoin off exchanges into hardware wallets, and let the shit storms go around us and sleep well at night. That's kind of my vision.
100%. What about you, Greg? What's your thoughts on this?
Not your keys, not your coin. That's my first thought. But I will say, you know, I think to your point about why would you hold the Bitcoin community or crypto in general to a different standard? A good question. However, I don't think some of the existing custodians that are out there that are used to custodying traditional assets necessarily have the expertise or the infrastructure in place to, you know, do the job as well as maybe a homegrown, you know, Bitcoin custodian would be able to do. So are we ready for that? Are those, do those companies exist? I think that's one of the big questions. You know, you can't just use existing custodians that are out there, I think. Although I'm sure, you know, Fidelity and some others who have led the charge here are probably making the right moves in terms of the infrastructure that they have. So,
yeah. So I agree. I think that there's definitely some Bitcoin companies and, you know, crypto exchanges that are definitely going to be caught wearing their pants down. There's definitely some exchanges that have followed, or some Bitcoin companies, better said, that do have the broker and custodian separated, right? But it is definitely something to be aware of. And this is a developing story. We'll stay on top of it. And if this does go through, right, it definitely will radically change the industry. Let's see what happens. Anyways, everybody, let's get some news. Have a lot to talk about.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So this is the big kahuna for today. Absolutely crazy. Michael Saylor tweeted this out February 15th of yesterday. On May 3rd to the 4th in Orlando, Florida, MicroStrategy will host our first in-person conference to discuss Bitcoin and Lightning for corporations and showcase enterprise solutions that monetize websites and mobile apps. Participants and presenters can register below. Let's take a look at some of more information on this. Goes on to say, Bitcoin and Lightning for Corporations is a unique opportunity for corporate leaders, financial executives, and technology innovators to discuss the future of Bitcoin in the corporate world. The event features expert advice needed for corporations to plug into Bitcoin and Lightning and reimagine their business directly from the market's most credible voices and experienced practitioners. This event is hosted by MicroStrategy, a pioneer in Bitcoin adoption. In August 2020, MicroStrategy became the first publicly traded company to acquire and hold Bitcoin on its balance sheet as a primary treasury reserve asset. MicroStrategy paved the way for other companies such as Block, Inc., and Tesla to follow. So let's take a look at some. So looks like the first day, May 3rd, it's Bitcoin for corporations. And then the second day, it's Lightning for corporations. There's the Bitcoin keynote. There's Wall Street and Bitcoin, corporate treasury session, Bitcoin 101, accounting and tax panel, legal regulatory panel, the future of Bitcoin for corporations, a fireside chat. Goes on to say, crypto is noise. Bitcoin is the signal. Corporations need the knowledge, tools, and network to stay focused on adoption and benefit from the technology. And so definitely check that out. And then interesting, the title of this one, A Bright Orange Future, A Fireside Chat. MicroStrategy Executive Chairman hosts a Bitcoin and Lightning luminary to share their unique vantage point on the market. So this is really, really exciting, dude. This is really, really exciting. It looks like, you know, Michael Saylor took that stepping down from the CEO to focus on Bitcoin extremely seriously. And it is, you know, it is really about convincing companies and corporations that, you know, they're responsible to their shareholders. I'm sure a lot of them are public companies, right? You have to convince them, like, why Bitcoin? Now, why should we use Bitcoin versus the traditional financial system? And I think that this type of conference focused specifically just on companies, just on corporations, does just that. So interesting to see how this plays out. There's definitely going to be a ton of videos I'm anticipating that come out of there, and hopefully we'll have some clips for you guys that we can play. And interesting how this works out. Now, I'm going to double down on what we've been talking about
the last couple of weeks where I say that right now, Nayib Bukele on the nation state adoption front and Michael Saylor on the public company adoption front, right now, they don't look very good. Their Bitcoin investments, both of them, you know, down over 50%. If it's in Michael Saylor's case, you know, that's billions of dollars, or I think it's $1 billion or so. So they don't look good. The next halving, I really do believe that not only Michael Saylor will be vindicated, but also Nayib Bukele. And then that's when I believe you're going to start to see more interest from other companies. And I really do believe it's going to blow everyone's mind. I think right now it's hard to see. But if I told you in 2020 or 2019 that, hey, within two or three years, public companies like Tesla are going to start putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet and a whole nation state is going to make Bitcoin legal tender, you would have laughed me out of the room. So I think, you know, as NGU technology does its thing, I think a lot of things are going to happen that none of us could have ever foreseen, but it's definitely going to be a hell of a ride. I just ask all of you to survive this bear market, take advantage of, you know, these awesome Bitcoin prices, these discounts, like we like to say, you know, stay humble, stack sats, grow your stack, survive. HODLing is easy, but doing it is very difficult. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, just on your last point, you reminded me of what my buddy Vikingo says like every day in our space. He's like, guys, just stay solvent, like survive the bear market, you know, don't get over leveraged. But back to the conference. I actually have a question. I'm misremembering right now, but wasn't the last time we had a big Bitcoin corporation conference? It was NYDIG, and we saw a lot of fireworks come out of that one. So, like, I think it's going to be very interesting to see. And I'm assuming that we're going to see some big companies come out of this MicroStrategy one.
I don't think that's going to be made public, to be honest. Well,
no, that's my point. Like, I'm assuming that, like, we will start to hear grumblings about this in the near future about, like, who was there, who got inspired to stack Bitcoin. But my point in saying all that is the last time we had a conference of this nature for corporations, we saw a lot of big companies come out, you know, not actually out of the conference, but like in time be like, oh, yeah, now we're stacking Bitcoin. So, you know, maybe we're putting too many dots together and being like, OK, this is going to pump our bags. Obviously, we are we stay bull-tarded here. But I think to the point, like the signal is spreading. And it's like I said in the beginning, you know, the Bitcoin brain drain is real. And shouts out to MicroStrategy and Saylor for putting his hat in the ring and continuously to spread that signal. I think that's what all of us Bitcoiners are starting to realize. It's like, look, how much can I do to help Bitcoin adoption? And am I doing enough? And I think we're all kind of having that same realization of where can I add value and where can I help more people become Bitcoiners? But I really like that they made the emphasis of talking about Lightning. I think that's very bullish in and of itself. So shouts out to what they're doing. Really great to hear. I'm sure we will get some bullish news coming out of this in the future. But for now, man, let's go.
Let's go. Anyways, MS Bitcoin Life, what's your take on this, bro?
I think what Saylor's doing in this conference is you're even underestimating how powerful it can be. You know, I spent 35 years in the fiat retail world with credit card processing my whole life. And it's extremely important to orange pill merchants in a seamless way. And it's coming. I don't know if it's in a year or in 3 years or 5 years, but that is huge. And that's the main, one of the main goals of mass adoption, which Greg and I run, is to, if you will, orange pill or convert regular retailers to accept Bitcoin. And that's one of our missions. Our goal is to get about 500 retailers this year under our umbrella accepting Bitcoin in their stores. So it's we're doing it from the ground up. Saylor's doing it from the top down. So I think it's very exciting.
Absolutely. Greg, what are your thoughts on this? What's your take?
Well, at the end of the day, we all work for Bitcoin. We all work for Bitcoin. Saylor works for Bitcoin. The four of us work for Bitcoin. So I love it because, you know, it is about mass adoption around the world. And Saylor's taking control of the corporate angle, and we need corporate mass adoption as much as we need the pleb mass adoption and everything in between. So this is good. This is bullish. You know, what a brand, Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. Win. I love that part that you just said, right, about the that everyone that, you know, we all work for Bitcoin. And I fundamentally agree. And I do believe this applies to everybody. So, like, you know, if you're a Bitcoiner on Twitter, you know, every like that you give towards, you know, or every rebuttal, better said, where the European Central Bank is trolling everybody with a meme. We love you all. Happy Valentine's Day. We want to get back inflation back to 2%. And all the rebuttals in the comments, like the memes and just the ridicule, like ridiculing how ridiculous that is. Like, yeah, let's get back to 2%, you know, theft. Like, that is working for Bitcoin. Like, you are pushing the, you know, you're pushing the peaceful revolution forward. That's what it's all about. It takes agency. It takes all of us. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, there we go. Look at that. The peaceful revolution. Love that. Anyways.
That was a shout out to our own brand, but that's okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all good. So speaking of the peaceful revolution, I have an update for you guys on the continuation of the separation of money and state. Very interesting. And look, this is not a coincidence. Remember the CalPen video by Bloomberg. Remember the production, the amount of money that was spent on that production. It's not a coincidence that this is happening around the same time. And remember, CalPen worked at that time for the Obama administration. The vice president was Joe Biden, right? Who's currently the president. So again, I'm not like, there's no way, there's way too many coincidences is what I'm trying to say. And again, just to specify for anyone, you know, new to the show, want to clarify, Simply Bitcoin is politically neutral. We don't lean left or right in the traditional fiat party sense. We stand for Bitcoin. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican, we don't care. As long as you support Bitcoin, we are your friends. Anyways, Biden administration acknowledges it can force Bitcoin mines to disclose pollution. In a letter shared exclusively with The Verge, Democrats pressed the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Agency on their timelines for mandating energy and emissions disclosures by crypto mining companies. Now, it's interesting because other industries are not mandated to do the same disclosure. So is it really about the climate? Is it really about the environment? Or is it really going after Bitcoin mining's proof of work? Because they can't control Bitcoin. They can't control the monetary policy of Bitcoin. They can't control people because they can't control the money that those people are using. And remember, the case in Norway is the one that I always bring up, because that I really believe is the smoking gun. So there are certain political parties in Norway that wanted to ban Bitcoin mining in Norway. Now, they didn't have enough political support, so it never passed. But what's really interesting about Norway is that the vast majority, no, I think it's like 90, it's some absurdly high number, still used so-called renewable energy to mine Bitcoin, but they still wanted to ban it. So is it really about Bitcoin mining using renewable energy, or is it about controlling what you can use energy for or not, right? And then kind of tie this up with the recent gas stove thing, right? They didn't want people using gas stoves. So again, that's another example of, you know, a government or political party getting to pick and choose what you're entitled to use or not. And I think that's a terrible path to go down. I think that's a form of central planning. Anyways, so let's get into more of the details. Federal agencies have the authority to force crypto mining companies to divulge how much energy they use and greenhouse gas emissions they create, according to a letter between the agencies and Democratic lawmakers shared exclusively with The Verge. Bitcoin miners have flocked to the U.S. over the past couple of years, triggering concerns about electricity usage and greenhouse gas emissions. Despite the proliferation of crypto mines across the U.S., there hasn't been solid data on what impact they have on the power grid and national climate goals. That could soon change as Democratic lawmakers pressure federal agencies to speed up plans to require crypto mining companies to report their emissions and energy consumption. That kind of transparency is an early, crucial step towards reining in pollution from crypto mines. That is a very strong statement, what I just said. Anyways, This quote, we urge you to use the authorities to implement a mandatory disclosure regime as rapidly as possible. We urge you. And then this was signed by, you guys have heard her before, Senator Elizabeth Warren. We have to shame them all. Sheldon Whitehouse, Ed Markey, Jeff Merkley, Dick Durbin, and Representatives Jared Huffman, Katie Porter, and Rashida Tlaib. Anyways, goes on to say, this is in a saga that started last year when Democratic lawmakers, the biggest crypto mining companies in the U.S., to share numbers on their energy consumption and pollution. Seven companies together have the capacity to use over 1 gigawatt of electricity, almost enough energy as every residence in Houston might use combined. Now, again, like, that is a misrepresentation that doesn't get into the details, but sure, is that a very good talking point? We've heard that talking point before. I want you guys to connect the dots. You remember the Bloomberg hit piece by Cal Penn. What did they say? Bitcoin mining uses as much energy as Austria. What they failed to disclose, including that article from The Verge as well, is that they don't mention what energy Bitcoin uses. Bitcoin mining can't use energy or electricity that is uneconomical. You don't see Bitcoin mines in very big cities. Why? Because electricity is expensive. You see Bitcoin mining where the electricity is cheap. Therefore, you know, basic supply and demand, there isn't a lot of demand. There's a ton of supply and that pushes down the prices. That's where it makes sense. That's why you're seeing Bitcoin mines, pop up around flared gas. Flared gas, which is just, you're just setting methane on fire, and that, you know, that fire goes into the atmosphere. Imagine taking that, harnessing that, and turning that into Satoshis. I mean, that's a much greener use of that energy, if we want to use their terms. Why don't they subsidize that? Why don't they push that forward? Right? That actually helps, but they never mentioned that. That's never mentioned. Right. So we've been on the fence about this for a very long time. At first, we gave them the benefit of the doubt. We went down that path like, no, these people are naive. They just don't know enough. But when they continue to ignore the research the Bitcoin community has made, right, whether it's the Bitcoin Mining Council, you know, shout out Ben Gagnon, shout out Michael Saylor, whether, you know, it's BPI, Bitcoin Policy Institute, whether, you know, it is Dennis Porter, the Satoshi Action Fund, whether it's Nick Carter, right? All these organizations that, you know, spend a tremendous amount of time doing a tremendous amount of research and giving all the angles, and you continue to hear the same talking points. They're ignored. So then how do you come to another conclusion, but they're choosing to ignore this? They're not stupid people. They're extremely well-educated. Elizabeth Warren is very smart. Can't say she's not, right? So what other conclusion can you come to than they're maliciously ignoring it, to the point that Michael Saylor even called it at one point propaganda, right? And I really believe that this piece by The Verge and the piece by Cal Penn, released by Bloomberg Crypto with the handle Crypto, right? It says a lot, right? Very strong symbolism there. It tells you... It tells you that I don't think they really want the truth. I think that this is about controlling people. Ultimately,
they can't handle the truth.
There we go. I wish we had that meme popped up. I think that's what it's ultimately about. And man, have I gone through, and Opti's witnessed this firsthand, this like it's very hard to say that, because when you say that, you're automatically labeled, this guy's a freaking nut job. This guy's a conspiracy theorist. But I ask you, there we go. Look, tinfoil hat and everything. I ask you, right? The viewer or the listener, why don't you look into this stuff and see if you can come to another conclusion? Please let us know. You could shoot us a DM, Simply Bitcoin Twitter. You can comment down below. I can't come to another conclusion. These attacks don't seem like they're interested in the truth. They're really seeking to attack the industry. And look, the fact that Elizabeth Warren is behind this as well, we know the Elizabeth Warren bill, that she tried to do. She flat out wants to force software developers in the United States to register with the state in order to write code for Bitcoin. I think she's using any excuse possible, anything that she can get her hands on, to throw at this thing in order to stop the adoption of Bitcoin. And I think that highlights a lot about the fact that I think that a lot of these politicians, not all of them, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, I don't think they really care about their constituents. I don't think they really care about inflation. I think they're more concerned on getting as close as humanly possible to the money printer so they can benefit from that money printer. The incentives are not aligned, and I think that this is a symptom of those incentives not being aligned. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, to your last point, I'm going to take a very contrarian view on this. I am very glad that Elizabeth Warren is pushing this, because everything she touches dies. So, let's just hope that history continuously plays out. No, but seriously, I mean, the propaganda is really strong right now. It's like so hot to FUD Bitcoin. And we know where they're coming from. We know that the environmental FUD is where it's like the lowest hanging fruit. It's climate FUD and then the FTX explosion. And so we know that they're going to be using these excuses for as long as possible. And then, I just kind of want to jump in as well. And I know we do our best to stay as bipartisan as possible, but it is very interesting how aggressive the Democrats are viewing Bitcoin and attacking Bitcoin when you think they would be endorsing Bitcoin, because Bitcoin helps the little guy.
I want to push back on that a little bit. The Elizabeth Warren bipartisan bill was bipartisan. So it was a senator, it was a Republican senator, and it was, a Democratic.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. But it's more like the whole Biden administration at large is kind of
But we had Trump that also said that he hated Bitcoin. Hey, remember,
I laid out the context that we are bipartisan. I will rip on both sides of the aisle. Just trust you, me. I'm just saying right now, this is where we are, Nico. But anyways, I think this is kind of back to the point that we always talk about, that you basically always say, the amount of hula hoops that Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies need to jump through is ridiculous. Like, I know as Bitcoiners, we hold ourselves to a high standard, but like, why must Bitcoin and Bitcoin companies be held to a higher standard than other industries when we know that Bitcoin is a tiny, tiny market in comparison to every other industry? And yet it is the most green industry out there. Like, this is uncontentious, guys. Like, Bitcoin does help the energy grid. Bitcoin does help planet Earth. We've seen this consistently happen in real time. We bring the receipts all the time. But I think it's just back to what we say. Bitcoin exposes all incentives. And, if you're incentivized by the fiat system, then you're going to bash Bitcoin. So, hey, just keep chugging along. Keep plugging in the ASICs and keep doing what you do out there, Bitcoin miners.
Absolutely. Amen. Beautiful. Greg, what's your take on this? And then we'll move on to MS Life.
Yeah. Well, all politics aside, and I agree with that. It's both sides of the aisle. It's insulting, actually. It really is that I believe these politicians throw the FUD because they know they have the power to dictate the narrative. I call it propaganda, whatever we want to call it, but they know they can dictate the narrative. They know they can get their voice out there, and they know whatever they say, I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of people are just going to digest the 20-second soundbite on the national news and take that to sleep with them at night. And it's insulting because we are all intelligent as well. And like, the information is out there. The facts have been proven, So I'm getting a little bit tired of having, these people continue to just ignore the facts, ignore the work that's been put in, and continue to drive these narratives that, it's to their own benefit. They want to keep the system the same way it is. They're close to the money printer, and they're quite frankly taking advantage of the population at large who are busy doing their jobs. They digest the sound bites, and it's literally a psyop, mass formations, psychosis, if you will. And the politicians like Elizabeth Warren are taking advantage of that, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, 100%. It is absolutely disgusting. I completely agree with you. MS Bitcoin Life, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
I thought your soliloquies were terrific, But I thought you were way too generous. Look at guys. You guys are young fellas. I got probably 25 to 30 years on you. I don't have time to be generous. It's all effing bullshit. You gave them the benefit of the doubt for a year. Terrific. Gave them the benefit of the doubt for 18 months. Great. They're trying to crush everyone except the people that are close to the money printer. They're trying to steal our wealth via inflation, the hidden tax. So everything you see, there's no coincidences. They are trying to crush it. They obviously, this is so disruptive. They know their game is over if this wins. So forget about the benefit of the doubts. It is war. They are trying to crush it, and we need to fight.
100%. And the way that we, and the way that we fight, ladies and gentlemen, is taking your Bitcoin into self-custody. If you do that, if enough people do that, that's how we win. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, everybody. I want to give a shout out to the biggest Bitcoin conference in Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. It's not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. It is a Bitcoin only event, BitBlock Boom. You can take advantage of the promo code simply Bitcoin. Get a discount on your tickets. Also, check out Unconfiscatable in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's also a poker tournament, which is quite fun, I might add. I came in eighth place last year, by the way, out of 100 people. I'm quite proud of that. I've never played poker in my life. So Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, Jimmy Song, Tone Vase, and like Mark Moss as well. Many other good speakers. You definitely don't want to miss Unconfiscatable. And you can take advantage of the referral code SIMPLY10 to get a discount. Anyways, Opti, what are we going to talk about today, my
Let's
friend?
Let's go. Well, we have the boys from Mass Adoption. And you know me, I love talking about better ways to orange pill people. And me and MS Bitcoin had a great conversation beforehand. So we'll probably rehash some of this stuff on the show for the people out there. But I think first and foremost, can you guys just tell the people what your goal is at Mass Adoption? And then we'll get into some of this other information that I have over here. So I don't know, MS or Greg, whoever wants to jump in, what is Mass Adoption and what are your goals? Greg,
I'll jump in first. It's pretty simple. Quite simply, Mass Adoption's mission is to help spread freedom and sovereignty around Massachusetts, the state, and beyond its borders, and do our part to help spread those things around the world. And the way we do that is by introducing people to Bitcoin, what Bitcoin can do to enhance someone's life, and the hope that it brings to those who are struggling in the existing system. It's also an outlet for those people who are Bitcoiners who want to hang out with other Bitcoiners, because we all know we don't always have someone at home or close by in a friend group that is also a Bitcoiner at this point. So one of the things we're really proud of is giving people an outlet to come talk to other Bitcoiners and strategize. And it's amazing to see the energy in the room when we have our meetups. We've seen it firsthand. We've seen people come to our meetups and say, "Hey, thanks for doing this. Cause I've been sort of, I feel out on an island. I've learned a little bit about this, but now I'm learning more. And it's just exciting to be around other Bitcoiners to know that I'm not crazy, and to have a support system, and to figure out ways to incorporate it deeper into their life, into their work. We have some entrepreneurs who run their own businesses who have started to adopt Bitcoin in their work, and to accept payments through Lightning. So we're seeing real life tangible evidence of a small meetup that's getting bigger every month, having an impact on the people we serve. So it's exciting.
C-
Yeah, that's awesome. And MS, I want you to jump in as well, because before the show, we were having this conversation about starting your own Bitcoin meetup and what the, you know, how to do that. But also, I'd like to kind of have you do that little rant about merchant adoption that we had in the beginning. So, hey, this is your floor. Jump in, bro. Sure.
Well, first of all, just to add on to what Greg said, mass adoption is a sort of multi-siloed company, and it's all about orange pilling people. We, you know, mass adoption means Massachusetts, but the double entendre is it means everybody. So it plays throughout the world, or it plays locally. So we do it by a few different ways. And it started with doing meetups. So we hold a meetup once a month. Every third meetup, we have a speaker. We've been lucky enough to have Greg Foss. We've been lucky enough to have Jason Lowry speak. We've been lucky enough to have BJ Dichter speak. We've been lucky enough to have Larry Lepard speak. So we've had some great speakers, and we're very excited to announce our April speaker. We won't do it yet, but you guys will love who's speaking in April. So we do it by hosting meetups, but we also do it by teaching people how to start a meetup. So for example, one of the guys that came down all the way from New York to our meetup a couple months ago, I said, well, why don't you start a meetup in New York? And he said, well, there's all shit corners around me and no one wants to go. So we're working with him to give him the tools to start the local meetup in his town. And I said, just get a couple of your friends, go to a bar, start a meetup page. It's important to start a meetup page through meetups, so you have a foundation to start with, and start it, and it will grow, and it will grow. So we facilitate and try to teach how to do meetups. We also, because I have many years of experience working in retail, I have a very strong connection and knowledge base of merchant services and credit cards. Our next goal is to orange pill merchants and merchant pill adoption. So we're working with a merchant right now. They probably do a couple $1 million in business. We have our IT team working on a seamless solution so that their customers can pay with Bitcoin on the Lightning Network. So we do it by meetups. We do it by merchants. And we also are doing a festival this spring. Late spring, early summer. And it's basically, it's a freedom festival powered by Bitcoin. So it's not so much a Bitcoin festival. It's a freedom festival. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be vintage clothing. There's going to be, we're partnered with Bitcoin Beats and Need Creations. He's running all the music. So there's going to be Bitcoin music. We're in
talk. Ibex.
Yeah, Ibex is helping to support our Lightning payment system. So we're working with Ibex for a seamless solution for all the vendors to accept Bitcoin. We haven't finalized the talks because he's running around the world trying to orange pill all the ranchers. But Texas has said he wants to be involved and bring down the cattleman's barbecue down to the city of Boston. And we also love it that, you know, 1776 and the Tea Party was a very important date in our country's society. And here we are back in Boston trying to fight the peaceful revolution in 2023.
I love it, man. Amen to that. I love it. And just to your point about the Freedom Festival, this is something that I've had conversations with other Bitcoiners, one of my personal friends, Joe Rogers, and we kind of had the same perspective. And what we try to do here on Simply Bitcoin of like, look, I know us Bitcoiners love to talk about Bitcoin with other Bitcoiners, but I think it's upon us to try to get other people that are freedom minded into Bitcoin. So I really love that initiative. And I don't know, what's been your guys' journey getting new people into Bitcoin? Are you getting positive responses, or are you guys just, beating your heads against a brick wall?
Well, you know, I tweeted 2 days ago, I got a tweet from one of my friends. He's a big attorney in Boston. And he said to me, let's have dinner again soon. And then he wrote, and I'd love to talk Bitcoin too. It's on one of my tweets. I first thought it was bullshit, but I think we should start talking. So I just think it takes a lot of touch points, and something's got to click in people's heads. You can't jam it down their throat. So I like to take a softer approach and discuss like sort of generic things like, you know, how do you like that you go to work, trade your time for money so you can buy the things you want, but the people at the top can just push a button and sit back and collect monopoly money and rule your life. You know, does that upset you? Do you think that should change? And then I go down the Bitcoin thing about the scarcity and the immutability and the unconfiscatable and, you know, all the, and the limited supply, all that stuff. So I don't try to go at them head on because they're in the legacy world. They're making their money in the legacy world, in the fiat world. They're not going to accept that. If you go in and say, do you think it's right that the elite don't have to work for the money they print to pay for all the stuff they're spending on, like wars and everything else, where we have to go to work and spend our time? So I try to do it that way.
Awesome. Yeah, Greg, you want to jump in a little bit, add some two cents?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, there's still some people that look at me like I have two heads when I bring up my passion for Bitcoin and how I think it's going to change the world. But, you know, I think less and less of that every time the months tick by. And so I think it's becoming more mainstream, like people, it's in the consciousness a little bit. And we got to keep pushing it, because now I do have some conversations with people and, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I've heard, you know, I haven't gotten into that yet. But that's like a door open, you know, and then you can, like Jeff says, everyone can understand the pain and like the sort of suffering of like, hey, I'm working harder, you know, like, where's the contract? Like, I feel like it's broken. I was told if I focus, I work hard, I roll up my sleeves and I put in an honest, you know, day's work, that I should be able to earn like an honest living. And it's not working out that way. You know, people are just, and they're sort of questioning themselves. Well, why is this happening? I'm doing my part. Why am I still feeling distressed and anxiety on Sunday nights? And it's like, well, because the money is broken. And people are starting to understand that, and they're seeing the inflation, and they're saying, oh, the money's broken. Well, we need a money that is as scarce as our time and as precious as our time. Because if you're trading your precious time, you better get something as precious and as hard and as finite in return. And that's the contract we all believe in. And that's what we've been told from day one, you know, from our parents, from our grandparents. Put in the work, you get an honest pay. And then you can do what you need to do to serve your family or you know, whatever else comes after that. But it's like, no, it's not working that way. And people are waking up to that. So I'm excited about that, because that's where Bitcoin comes in. It is the hardest money, and it is finite, and it matches our precious time. And no one's going to argue that. You know, everyone has a different amount, but everyone has a beginning and an end, and that's finite.
I love it, man. I love the message. And also, I love that, you know, some people were joking in the chat. This is Nico and Opti in the future in 2043. And I love how not only does Bitcoin bridge, you know, race and culture, it also bridges age. And we're all on the same mission. We all see the same problem. It's the money, stupid. Fix the money, fix the world. And this is what we're all here for. This is the mission that we're all on. So kudos to you guys. Nico, you want to jump in? And then we could move into the memes.
Yeah, man. So much bullish, you know, like, and I love that we're on the same mission and we're on the same mindset. And exactly what Opti said, like, they, like, yeah, there might be an age difference. You said it earlier, MS Bitcoin Life, right? Maybe a 30-year gap, but we're in sync. And I think that is the Bitcoin effect. It's absolutely beautiful. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we will win. Bitcoin is the common language of the world. It doesn't matter if we don't understand each other. The common denominator is Bitcoin, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I really believe in my heart it's going to make the world a better place. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review,
brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
All right, guys.
Kaboom.
Kaboom.
Have you heard of Kaboom? Have you heard of Kaboom?
All right, guys, you already know this is your favorite portion of the show, the meme review, where we cover your memes. So tag me on Twitter, Simply Bitcoin TV, or come hang out in our Telegram group, t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV, and we will review your memes. Also, drop your meme review score in the chat, and we will cover it live. As we say every single day, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war as we continuously bring the receipts. the FUD is strong against Bitcoin. The propaganda against Bitcoin is in overdrive. So put your hat in the ring and continue to put truth in art and spread that signal. Get the calls of actions out there. And before I go in covering these memes, shouts out to my boy Rope. He keeps making fun of me because apparently I am butchering all of the memes that I cover and I can't speak English. I will get a dictionary apparently so that I can cover these better. But shouts out to you guys. Keep sending me the memes. Okay, this first one. I am blanking right now on whose meme this was, but this was in our Telegram group. Shouts out to you guys for tagging me and making me put this one on the show. So the first meme is, it's a little kid. He's looking at some steps and it goes, the first step is the hardest. And the first step is buy Bitcoin. The second step is self-custody. The third step is cold storage. The fourth is run a node. The fifth is Lightning. And the last one is educate, continue to educate more people. So shouts out to you guys out there in the Telegram group. Continue to tag me. I will bring them up even if they're not on Twitter. Okay, this next one. Shouts out to Maxi's Club. I absolutely love your work, bro. I don't know. I am colorblind and it always pops. So I guess you guys need bright colors. I like bright colors. Anyways, this one's 308 and he just says daily. And I know you Bitcoiners feel this one. This is what we do daily, obviously. That's why this is what he wrote. And it goes like this. Nobody. Bitcoiners on social media. I am hodling. And it's the little Pepe the Frog that Maxi's Club uses. And then you can see all his microphones over here. And we got press, TV, news, Twitter, Noster. I think this is Knitter, YouTube, news, Instagram, and media. Anywhere possible, Bitcoiners are spreading signal and saying the same thing. I am hodling, and maybe you should too. You might want to get some just in case it catches on. Okay, this next one. Shouts out the Ding Dong 3001. As you guys know, I know we tell you guys not to watch the price, but anytime the price does pump, everyone's watching the price. Anyways, it is noise, but hey, number go up is activated, and we got this engineer astronaut here looking at his rocket ship, and the rocket ship has a little Bitcoin logo, and it simply says NGU. If you know, you know, number will go up, and number go up has been activated as we are kissing that 25K range. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to my boy at Justifer_BTC, and you know that I had to add some of my friends' memes in here. Anyways, so we got this fight by Godzilla and King Kong, and Godzilla is the United States dollar, and King Kong is China's yuan, and then we got a Shiba Inu dog named Bitcoin with the bonk bat, and Godzilla and King Kong are running away because they are gonna get owned by Bitcoin. Bitcoin will put them in check in real time. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to our friend RD_BTC, and he just tweets, everyone buys Bitcoin at the price they deserve. And the meme is a SpongeBob face with a shocked little face on, you know, the like, wait, what? Bitcoin's not dead face. And it goes, the face of a no coiner makes when they realize how much Bitcoin they'd have if they didn't fall for all the mainstream media FUD and BS for several years. Yes, shocking, very shocking. Bitcoin hasn't died, and it just continuously goes up. This next one, this is back to the idea of bringing in more people into the fray of Bitcoin. This guy at Botsdu, he's followed by my friend Joe Rogers. And back to this idea, there's a lot of freedom communities out there, and they're slowly starting to wake up to the idea that hodling Bitcoin is freedom. The Bitcoin accumulation game is freedom, and more people are going to jump on this bandwagon. Anyways, the meme here is it's a knock on the come and take it meme or the come and take it flag. And we got a ledger here and it goes, come and meme it. Yes, come to Bitcoin. Stay for the memes. Okay, this next one, at @eggplant_Elon, and he simply puts, Plato was a Bitcoiner. And I wanted to add this one. Not only did I, you know, take my long journey here through philosophy in my younger days, but I have a special place in my heart for Plato because I wouldn't be here. He taught me how to think. Anyways, I agree. Plato was a Bitcoiner. And we got this quote from Plato, and it goes, those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. Let's go. Okay, guys. So drop your meme review score in the chat as I find something to be my meme review score. Okay, I don't know if I put this one on before, but I have this Bisque No Pictures lanyard that I got at Bitblock boom a few years ago when I was in Anon, but it's not just a lanyard because I might have put the lanyard on before, but it's with my keys. So this is my keychain to my car.
Okay. There you go. Okay. All right. I'm going to give it. Oh, no, I can't give that. It's too nasty. Oh, okay. My old broken iPhone.
Ooh.
All right. What about our guests? Greg, what would you give those memes?
I'm gonna give it this tinfoil hat for the memes today.
Beat me
especially
to
the,
it.
Very nice. Especially the SpongeBob one. What? I could have what? Oh, shouldn't have listened to mainstream media.
MS Bitcoin Life, what would you give those memes?
Uh oh, he's on mute.
My bad.
I'm going to give them my blessing because anybody who created a meme to start fighting in this war is got my blessing and my respect. So they're all great. Although I did love the SpongeBob one because, yeah, I get that, understand that feeling like, shit, I should have bought that.
Right. I think we all have. All right. Hold on. Before we go on, actually, I'm not going to bring that out. Rope. GFY. Anyways, first one. Wait.
Guys, check out our clothing sponsor while you guys drop the scores in the live chat. RepresentLTD.com. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. So is Opti. It's almost sold out. There's some t-shirts left. There's some hats left. Definitely check out the whole collection. Only on RepresentLTD.com. You could use the promo code simply-bitcoin to get 10% off anything on the RepresentLTD.com store. I was going to say score.
Well, store. Speaking of score, we got our first meme review score.
Wait, Opti. You got to hold on, bro.
Wow. Aggressive. Okay. All right. Well, look, RDBTC going with a throwback score, 10 out of 10, obviously. Okay. Throwback to numbers. Okay.
All right. Next one. Bitcoin for Canadians. I give the memes a bonk bat for Elizabeth Warren and her cranky cohorts.
I don't know if you can read this one, but if you know, you know.
I give those memes 2 years of green candles. Very, very good score. Very good score. Next one by HODLcoin. I give the memes a middle finger to the status. Roses are red. Roses are red. Violets are blue. My Bitcoin is orange and I will come for you. Oof, yeah. Okay. Aggressive. The P-Man Van. I give the memes Nihilus Fields buying votes for Elizabeth Warren with his brand new shiny CBDCs. All right, next one by Elaine. Shout out, Elaine. I give those memes proof Bitcoin is good for the human environment. Very, very nice. I like it. Next one by Michael Ward. I give the memes 2 eggs fried in grass-fed butter.
Sounds
okay,
delicious.
Look at you with the fancy, very fancy butter. I'm trying to stack sats, and you're trying to buy fancy butter. All right.
Health is important.
Miss Health is Wealth. Mr. Robot, rate those memes 1 honey badger DGAF what the government says. Oren, I give the memes an electric car, an electric miner.
Oh, all we right. Got one last Justin one. We got Griffin. One last one.
I give the memes get your ass to more Bitcoin meetups. I was thinking like get your ass more Bitcoin. I like that one too. Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for joining us another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you like the show, but you're on the go, definitely subscribe to the audio version, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain, your favorite podcasting platform. And tomorrow, Opti's not going to forget to pull up the Fountain comments so that we can give everyone a shout out. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. You can link us Bitcoin memes to review. Shout out Darth Coin for holding it down. Darth Mod. And of course, check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. It's a written version of the show. So check it out. Shout out to our awesome group of writers. There's so many to give you guys all shout outs, but you know who you are and we love you all. Anyways, I want to give a very special.
What's up, I was just going to say Kumo, Paul, Rusted, Wine, Wartime Bitcoin,
exactly,
Micro Minutes.
Exactly. You're proving my point.
I missed one. Alex from Kaboom
exactly.
Racks. I love you guys.
Alex from Kaboom Racks. Okay. Anyways, I want to give a shout out to our awesome guest. Thank you so much for joining us today on Simply Bitcoin Live. Greg, where can people find you and what are you working on nowadays?
Well, you can find me at Mass Adoption on Twitter. I believe it's MASS_BTC. And you can find me at the meetup tonight, number 10, meetup number 10. And I'm
awesome.
Working with Jeff on just mass adoption, helping to orange pill everybody.
Hell yeah, that's how we win. And of course, MS Bitcoin Life. How you doing, bro? Thank you so much for joining us today on Simply Bitcoin Life. Where can people find you nowadays? And what are you working on?
Well, on my Twitter handle is BTC_MS_thriving. So I'm working on my own sort of YouTube-y Twitter space on facing challenges, mental, physical, and how to thrive and get through them. But I'm spending most of my time with Greg working on mass adoption. So his Twitter handle is where we can be found. I also have a YouTube channel, MS Bitcoin Life, at YouTube.
Nico, I have one correction because I just looked. I never really look at my handle, but it's at BTC_mass. So the other way around.
Oh,
so at BTC_mass. And I will say I am also working on with my wife starting up a nano craft brewery in Hull, Massachusetts called Doctor's Island Brewing Company. And we will accept Bitcoin.
That sounds badass. I hope to come to you guys' meetup very, very soon. Thank you guys for joining us on Simply Bitcoin Live. We really appreciate it. Guys, the party continues on Twitter Spaces. We co-host with our friends over at the best place to stack sats, swanbitcoin.com, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. Definitely go check them out if you haven't already done so. We'll see you guys in Spaces. Love you all and see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.